pretty lucky the weather's this good, eh? Harry asked Ron.
Yeah,
said Ron, who was pale and sick-looking. Ginny and Demelza were already wearing their Quidditch robes and waiting in the changing room.
Conditions look ideal, said Ginny, ignoring Ron. And guess what? That Slytherin chaser, Vasey, he took a bludger in the head yesterday during their practice, and he's too sore to play. And even better than that, Malfoy's gone off sick too.
What? Said Harry, wheeling around to stare at her. He's ill? What's wrong with him?
No idea. But it's great for us, said Ginny brightly. They're playing Harper instead. He's in my year and he's an idiot.
Harry smiled back vaguely. But as he pulled on his scarlet robes, his mind was far from Quidditch. Malfoy had once before claimed he could not play due to injury, but on that occasion he had made sure the whole match was rescheduled for a time that suited the Slytherins better. Why was he now happy to let a substitute go on? Was he really ill, or was he faking?
Fishy, isn't it?
He said in an undertone to Ron, Malfoy not playing.
Lucky, I call it, said Ron, looking slightly more animated. And Vasey off too. He's their best goal scorer. I didn't fancy...
Hey,
he said suddenly, freezing halfway through pulling on his keeper's gloves and staring at Harry. What?
You...
Ron had dropped his voice and looked both scared and excited.
My drink. My pumpkin juice. You didn't...
Harry raised his eyebrows, but said nothing except... We'll be starting in about 5 minutes. You better get your boots on. They walked out onto the pitch to tumultuous roars and boos. One end of the stadium was solid red and gold, the other a sea of green and silver. Many Hufflepuffs and Ravenclaws had taken sides too. Amidst all the yelling and clapping, Harry could distinctly hear the roar of Luna Lovegood's famous lion-topped hat. Harry stepped up to Madame Hooch, the referee, who was standing ready to release the balls from the crate.
Captain's shakens,
she said, and Harry had his hand crushed by the new Slytherin captain, Urquhart.
Mount your brooms, and the whistle, 3, 2, 1.
The whistle sounded. Harry and the others kicked off hard from the frozen ground, and they were away. Harry soared around the perimeter of the grounds, looking around for the snitch and keeping one eye on Harper, who was zigzagging far below him. Then a voice that was jarringly different to the usual commentators started up.
Well, there they go, and I think we're all surprised to see the team that Potter's put together this year. Many thought, given Ronald Weasley's patchy performance as keeper last year, that he might be off the team. But of course, a close personal friendship with the captain does help.
These words were greeted with jeers and applause from the Slytherin end of the pitch. Harry craned around on his broom to look toward the commentator's podium. A tall, skinny, blonde boy with an upturned nose was standing there, talking into the magical megaphone that had once been Lee Jordan's. Harry recognized Zacharias Smith, a Hufflepuff player whom he heartily disliked.
Oh, and here comes Slytherin's first attempt on goal. It's Urquhart streaking down the pitch and...
Harry's stomach turned over.
Weasley saves it. Well, he's bound to get lucky sometimes, I suppose.
That's right, Smith, he is, muttered Harry, grinning to himself as he dived amongst the chasers with his eyes searching all around for some hint of the elusive snitch. With half an hour of the game gone, Gryffindor were leading 60-0. Ron having made some truly spectacular saves, some by the very tips of his gloves, and Ginny having scored 4 of Gryffindor's 6 goals. This effectively stopped Zacharias wondering loudly whether the 2 Weasleys were only there because Harry liked them, and he started on Peaks and Coot instead.
Of course, Coot isn't really the usual build for a beater, said Zacharias loftily. They've generally got a bit more muscle. Hit a bludger at him,
Harry called to Coot as he zoomed past, but Coot, grinning broadly, chose to aim the next bludger at Harper instead, who was just passing Harry in the opposite direction. Harry was pleased to hear the dull thunk that meant the bludger had found its mark. It seemed as though Gryffindor could do no wrong. Again and again they scored, and again, at the other end of the pitch, Ron saved goals with apparent ease. He was actually smiling now, And when the crowd greeted a particularly good save with a rousing chorus of the old favourite, Weasley is our king, he pretended to conduct them from on high.
"Thinks he's something special today, doesn't he?"
said a snide voice, and Harry was nearly knocked off his broom as Harper collided with him hard and deliberately.
"You're blood traitor, pal!"
Madam Hooch's back was turned, and though Gryffindors below shouted in anger, by the time she looked around, Harper had already sped off. His shoulder aching, Harry raced after him, determined to ram him back.
"And I think Harper of Slytherin's seen the snitch," said Zachariah Smith through his megaphone. "Yes, he's certainly seen something Potter hasn't."
Smith really was an idiot, thought Harry. Hadn't he noticed them collide? But next moment, his stomach seemed to drop out of the sky. Smith was right, and Harry was wrong. Harper had not sped upward at random. He had spotted what Harry had not. The snitch was speeding along high above them, glinting brightly against the clear blue sky. Harry accelerated. The wind was whistling in his ears so that it drowned all sound of Smith's commentary or the crowd. But Harper was still ahead of him, and Gryffindor was only 100 points up. If Harper got there first, Gryffindor had lost. And now Harper was feet from it, his hand outstretched.
"Oi, Harper!"
yelled Harry in desperation. "How much did Malfoy pay you to come on instead of him?" He did not know what made him say it, but Harper did a double take. He fumbled the snitch, let it slip through his fingers, and shot right past it. Harry made a great swipe for the tiny fluttering ball and caught it.
"Yes!"
Harry yelled. Wheeling around, he hurtled back toward the ground, the snitch held high in his hand. As the crowd realized what had happened, a great shout went up that almost drowned the sound of the whistle that signaled the end of the game.